Hey there, how's it going? Welcome to another Drive with Dave episode of the Way of the Truth Warrior podcast. Happy to be here with you once again. Posted a quote today, guys, that I really liked. Comes from the one and only Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. Highly recommend getting into his lectures and his interviews. He has something really incredible to say when it comes to facing your fear. So I thought we'd get into that, talk a little bit about it. I'm going to shed a little bit of my thoughts on this, but he says, you cannot always be protected from the things that frighten you and hurt you. But if you identify with the part of your being that is responsible for transformation, then you are always the equal or more than the equal of the things that frighten you. Think about that for a second. How can we actually face the things that we're afraid of? Like, what are you the most afraid of? If you're truly honest with yourself, right? For me, I can think of a lot of things that scare me. And I can think of a lot of things that used to scare me that no longer scare me. Ranging from small things to big things. But then there's always those things that we're frightened of that we're afraid to admit. So we're afraid to admit the fear, even to ourselves, let alone anybody else. And it's when we can actually go into these things that are holding us back that we can be free of them, right? It's the only logical conclusion that you can come to is that in order to conquer fear, you have to first face your fear. If you come upon a problem of some kind, in order to deal with it, you got to be honest about it. You got to be truthful with yourself. You can't cut any corners. And only then can you actually get rid of it or overcome that problem. So if your problem is that you are afraid of something or someone, or you have a natural leaning towards being afraid, like maybe you suffer from anxiety, or maybe you just haven't been able to summon the courage to finally stand up to that person that's been really bugging the shit out of you, or that boss that's been unfair with you, or that spouse, or that friend, or that next door neighbor, or whatever it is. Usually it's people, and then it becomes other things, right? Like maybe you have a fear of bats, you feel like me, you have a fear of spiders. Spiders, man, what the hell are spiders? They scare the crap out of me, man. I hate spiders, just ask my wife. I do my best, but for some reason those things just, they torment me. And you know what, I can face it, and I have many times, and it's an ongoing battle, but what really triggered my fear of spiders, I'll tell you this, was once when I was, oh, I don't know, maybe 10, 11 years old, I was up at my aunt's cottage. And she had this little rowboat that we used to just love, me and my brother, take it out on the water. And one morning we climbed into this rowboat, and I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for my brother to untie the boat from the dock. And I felt something on my leg and I didn't look right away. You know where this is going. And I'm sitting there, I feel this little tickle on my leg, I didn't even really think of it much. And then he jumps in the boat. And the boat kind of rocked when he jumped in, so I just naturally changed the orientation of what I was looking at, and I caught a glimpse of something big and black and hairy right on my bare leg. And I only caught a glimpse of it out of the corner of my eye, and instantly terror gripped me like I can't even describe in words. Because I knew something was up. I knew first sensation was that little tickle. Second sensation was the fact that I saw this black thing, but just out of the corner of my eye. And I had to actually force myself to look at this thing just to make sure that I'm not seeing things. And I look down and it's a giant, ugly, freaky looking, eight-legged dock spider. Gripping my leg and just sitting there, And it looked like a tarantula to me. And it looked so much bigger than I'm sure it was. But it was pretty big. I mean, dock spiders, if you've ever been to the lake and you've seen the size of these things, I don't even think they really bite. They're definitely not poisonous. But they are just big. And that scared the hell out of me. And I'll never forget that moment. And from that moment on, I made a deal with the Spider Kingdom. Here and no further. I want nothing to do with you. You guys are creepy crawly. You go way faster than my eyes can even track you. That freaks me out. I think on a natural biological level, when we know that this small little creepy crawly can move faster than your vision can even calculate, can hide and squeeze through things, is it an urban myth that they crawl into your mouth at night when you're sleeping? Like, sorry to gross you out. I am trying to help you conquer fear, and I'm giving you arachnophobia. Sorry about that. I'm just trying to share my fear with you. One of them. One little fear. And I mean, I don't know. Spiders, has that held me back in life to have a fear of spiders? I don't know. Not really. I don't think it's really held me back. Other than maybe it's held me back from learning more about spiders. And I did read stuff in books, and you know, now that I've got two daughters, you know, we read books about animals and insects, and you know, we get to the spider page, and I'm like, yeah, here's the spider. This is something that you're going to have a very love-hate relationship with throughout your life. No, I don't try to shape their opinion on it, but automatically, they're squeamish of spiders too. Like, they see a spider running around the floor. I really tried not to convey that to them as a parent. I really tried not to pass my shit down to them. I didn't, you know, I haven't interfered in that way, I don't think. And yet, naturally, they're already afraid of spiders. I always wondered why we're just so instinctively squeamish when it comes to, like, these certain kinds of insects and things like bats. And I think it's just because you can't control it. There's no way to... Like, if it's a dog, I mean, you can have a fear of dogs. But, you know, you could at least close your door and keep the dogs out and decide not to be a dog owner. And you could... Most of the time, you can avoid dogs. Unless they get off the leash or whatever. But a spider, man, that thing can crawl into the window. It can get into your clothes. It can, you know, it's crawling you while you sleep. Ah, I hate it. Scares me. But nonetheless, I've had to man up. I've had to face my fear. And even though I can't completely eradicate it, I've connected to that part of me that can transcend. And I think I've become equal to the spider. Not greater than equal. I've become equal to my fear of spiders in my mind, so that if shit hits the fan and there's a spider apocalypse, I know I can do what is necessary to save myself and my family, okay? I know I can do what is necessary. But for now, if I can avoid contact with spiders, I will do that. I will just voluntarily be like, no, you're cool, we're cool. If I come into the bathroom and I see a big spider sitting on the toilet seat, I'm like, oh, sorry. Didn't mean to bother you. Didn't know you were in here. Got to put the occupied sign on next time. And I moved to an island here, British Columbia, where there's a lot of spiders. A lot of big, black, hairy spiders. And I've had to somewhat get used to it. But you see, if a fear can become a paranoia. And I learned that just from this whole spider fear thing. And that's just one thing. I mean, I remember when I had a fear of speaking in public, but I always wanted to have that ability to do that. I think when I was a kid, I had a fear of teenagers, my mom used to tell me. She's like, you were always afraid of teenagers. I'm like, well, I think that's normal. I was a little kid. They were bigger than me. You know, when I thought of teenagers, I thought of, like, these guys wearing leather jackets and smoking cigarettes and lots of pimples all over their face and just talking smack, and their voices sounded a little bit weird because they're in the middle between, they're in their adolescent stage turning into adults, and kind of freaked me out. So I would just avoid them. That's a weird thing. I've had fear of flying. I've had a fear of heights. I mean, I remember one time when I was on, we're at the fair. This is probably around the same age. I think it was around 12 or so. And we go to the local fair and we're having a good time. And then we try to go on the Ferris wheel, right? And of course, I'm looking at this thing going, that is the coolest thing I've seen, but it's also terrifying. But I'll try it. And when we got on it, it was shaking and swinging and creaking and groaning. And the higher we got up, I literally couldn't handle it. I freaked out. I'll never forget this. I freaked out. Heights freaked me out. But then I grew out of that. Started climbing trees. Had my first airplane ride. Went up the CN Tower. They have that little glass floor thing where you can look down. Still pretty freaky. You always feel it in your balls. You know, when you look over the edge, you're like, oh my God, I feel it in my balls. Like, what? It's just a natural repulsion. That's there to save your life, by the way. So some kinds of fear, we're going to get to this in a sec here. Some kinds of fear are there for your benefit. It's just something you got to learn how to control, right? And then the first time I saw Rocky V, where he's training Tommy Gunn, and he's trying to teach him something right out of the bat. Tommy Gunn comes over to Rocky's house for dinner. He's like, yo, that Adrian, you know, she's pretty vicious with the garlic. But they're down in the basement, and he's showing him some shadow boxing moves, and then he's talking to him about fear. And I'd heard these kinds of things before, but I remember watching this at a pretty young age, and he was saying, you know, fear is like a fire. Fire, you know, can keep you warm. But if you're not careful, it can burn you and everyone around you. Something to that effect. So fear is like that. Fear is like a fire, right? I've had a fear of heights. I had a fear. I kind of feel like I grew up in a lot of fear and anxiety. It's just the way things happened. There was a lot of stuff that happened. I won't get into everything. There are going to be some stories that I'll share later on just for context. But there were some things that I saw go down. There were some things that I experienced growing up that really pushed me into a space of tremendous anxiety. And I just remember that. I got to a point one thing I'll let you know about, give you some context out there, is that my mom was in and out of the hospital a lot when I was young. And I won't say more than that, but I will say that it did cause me a lot of distress because I was staying over at, you know, friends' places and moving around a lot. My dad worked shift work, and it created a lot of anxiety in me as a kid, and I actually developed something called stomach migraines, which were just like severe panic attacks in the middle of the night, and you literally vomit, and it was horrible. It was horrible. And I had that experience because of the fact that I was worried about my mom and I wanted to be close to my mom, and I'm in this strange house, I'm in this strange place. And of course my parents did exactly what they had to do. I had to go through that. I had to really start to realize at a very early age that I had to learn how to become self-sufficient. And my older brother was there for me. But I just had to go through it but I think it kind of led to other forms of anxiety. Like it started a chain reaction. And then, you know, when you're in a space of deep-seated fear that's just not leaving you, you don't think rationally anymore. And then you start to adopt fear like a magnet. You know, it's like once you're already going down that path, it's like a domino chain that happens. And you now perceive life through that lens in general. And so things that probably you could have dealt with had you been in your normal state of mind, you can't deal with those things. And you overreact to those things. I'm sure some of you out there listening can feel me on this. So it took me a long time to conquer those fears and to deal with those things. And for me, one of the reasons I talk a lot about things like martial arts and study and reading and philosophy and history, the subjects that I'm very passionate in saved my life. It saved my sanity. It gave me a way of refocusing and rebalancing my mind and my body. And it helped orient me towards that transcendent spirit that Jordan Peterson is talking about in that quote. And then when you go through the fire, you come out stronger, metaphorically speaking. Don't walk through real fire. That's not a good thing. But the fear that you have, no matter what your fear is, you first have to admit it to yourself. You have to accept it, accept where you are. And then you start the process of healing. It doesn't just happen. There's not a quick pill. There's not a quick fix. There's nothing going to happen overnight. But what happens is you make small little steps towards progress, towards success. And another thing about fear is you have to, when you understand what fear is, what that mechanism is, and why human beings experience that and all living things experience it, when you start with the basic stuff and then you learn how that works with your conscious mind and your subconscious mind and your, and you know, all of the different mechanisms that make up your consciousness in general, when you understand how all that works, you're getting rid of a layer of ignorance that most people have until they're in a situation where they're trying to deal with deep-seated fear or trauma or post-traumatic stress disorder or anxiety or depression or things like that, mental health concerns. And that subject's dear to my heart because I've had my share of it growing up, and I did conquer it in my life. Probably around the age of 19 was when I feel like I really clinched it for myself. It took me from a very young age until about 19 to really clinch it. And then I've had my ups and downs, and yeah, I still have this little fear of spiders, but I've dealt with it. You know what I mean? It's not something, none of these fears that I used to have when I was growing up haunt me today. You know, we all have that fear of what other people think of you. And I think that's natural when you're young. You have that fear of, well, what's my coach think? What does my teacher think? What do my friends think? What do my parents think? And what do my peers think? What do the people that don't like me think? Like that's what consumes you when you're in your younger years, in your teen years. And the point of developing properly and with a healthy mind and becoming strong enough is that you become strong enough that you don't dwell on that anymore. Like you grow out of that. You enter adulthood and you're not any longer consumed with the opinions of other people that you don't have any, you don't really respect these people or you don't really know these people. Like why? It's interesting that we're so obsessed with that, how we're viewed by other people. And it can develop into a fear, and it can develop into a psychological problem. And it's because, like what I was saying in the previous episode I did when I was talking about the code of the warrior, if you don't cultivate that self-knowledge and that self-esteem and you don't have a way of doing that and proving to yourself what your value is, you'll never shake the fear of what other people think. And if you can't shake the fear of what other people think, you will be very limited in the success you're going to be able to have in your life, whatever it is that you want to do. Because that's going to always hold you back. And that's just one fear. There are many fears. I know you have yours. I'm just giving you a few little examples here. Some people fear the future. They fear the future. They fear what's going to happen down the road. And while there might be indications that, yeah, things going down, things that are going to happen a few weeks from now, a few months from now, a few years from now, might not look good, or there might be reason for concern. Ultimately, the future has not happened yet. It is not, it is only in our imagination right now. We're constantly living in this moment that just keeps happening. This now moment just keeps happening and happening and happening. And then that moment comes into fruition, and then it becomes a thing of the past. So to conquer fear, you need to have a good relationship with your past. You need to be honest and truthful with yourself about your fears and the things that concern you and keep you up at night and cause you to fret and cause you to go towards negative things for your body, like maybe getting into alcoholism or smoking too many cigarettes or going into drugs or even a lot of things that we do to escape. We're trying to escape our fears. We're trying to escape the things that... We're actually trying to escape our challenges in life. Because the challenges are too hard for us to bear, and we haven't been able to gain enough courage to face those challenges so we can grow to the next level. So instead, we tend to avoid things and try to hide things and cover things up. And the more we do that, the more that that turns into all kinds of other issues in your life. It boils over. Our psyche is, it rests on a razor's edge. Sanity rests on a razor's edge. So what I'm trying to do in this podcast and with this project is help give you tools that can help you create actionable steps in your life so that you can conquer those things in your life that don't need to be there, that are, it's unnecessary suffering. If you get into some of the psychoanalysts that have written things down, the psychologists that have said, have talked about like a legitimate form of suffering, like there, you know, we all, we're human beings, life is hard, there's suffering in the world, there's going to be negative experiences that happen to you. You can't always avoid those things. It's like what Jordan Peterson is saying, you can't always avoid the bad things that might be happening to you or might happen to you. But what you can do is find that spirit inside of you that can transcend that thing, that can transcend the fear of those things, so that you can actually live your life and so that you can become equal to the things that you fear in your mind and then eventually surpass those things. Because the reason you're afraid of it is because you feel like it has power over you. You feel powerless. That's what fear really is. It's a feeling of powerlessness. Like with spiders, I'm powerless to stop what a spider can do because it's just, it'll deke me out, man. I can't keep track of those things, right? That's one little example. But you're powerless against so many negative forces in the world. You're powerless against, think about the stories you hear of people that had horrific tragedies happen to them just in the blink of an eye, and there was nothing they could have done. There was nothing they could have done. It was just an act of random chaos. Or there were obviously things that happen to lead up to those moments that you can't possibly predict, and then calamity happens and boom, like what are you gonna do, you know? But you can't live your life in fear. You can't live your life the way your life was intended for you to live and with the potential that you could have for the life that you've always wanted. You can't live that life if you're being held back by your fears. So you have to learn how to conquer the fears that you have. And in order to do that, you have to be honest with yourself about what you're afraid of. You don't have to tell anybody else. I'm a guy, men out there, I totally get it. You don't want to admit that you're weak. And I honestly don't see fear as a weakness. I see it as just, that's just a natural thing in the human experience. We all experience fear. Every animal, every insect, they all experience fear. And they all react to it in their own way. Human beings, I don't care if you're the most badass, tough mofo, or at least you think you are, you experience fear. There are things that keep you up at night. There are things that make you shiver. There are things that make you want to hide. And it might not be anything physical. It might even just be something psychological. We're all tortured by our own demons. We're all tortured by past experiences. We're all tortured by the violence that we see in the world. You know, the violence of man against man and the horrific things that we hear about every single day. Even just, you know, up the road from us sometimes. Not even just looking at the big picture of the world. Just in your own neighborhood, you'd be surprised what kind of things happen. And that can be scary, and it can be scary to live as a human being in the world. But I would say that think about how scary it was to live as a human being in like the Middle Ages, as opposed to now. So yeah, there's all this stuff happening, and yeah, we've got technology that can create even more things for you to be afraid of, like the type of technology that's been developed for war, and oh my God, I'm not going to get into the list of all the things, but think about the Middle Ages. Like, think about the fact that you're lucky if you survive past the age of 30. By then, you've probably fought some wars and maybe planted some fields and had a couple wives and had some kids. And then now, you know, oh, you're 35? My God, you're the elder in this community. You survived plague. You survived all these different diseases. You've survived being invaded by Mongols or whatever. You've survived all these things. Like, to live in that time without electricity, without modern understanding of medicine and all these things, and without access to oftentimes clean water and clean food, constantly fighting for your life. We didn't have the type of civilized structure that we have now. What must have been, like, you live in fear every day. You see death around you every day. Like, real death, not death in, like, The Walking Dead or, you know, Game of Thrones or whatever, but, like, real, like, up the road. Oh, I knew Jerry, yeah, and he just, you know, someone came over and took him out, you know. Like, this kind of stuff would have been happening all around you. Totally different time. Imagine the type of fear people of those times must have experienced. And it's sad that there are still medieval elements to certain cultures and societies, even in the world today. Like, I mean, come on. You can look at everything from child soldiering in Africa to the intense Sharia laws that are imposed on people in the Middle East to the what's going on with ISIS to thinking about what happened in recent times in places like Bosnia and Serbia. And then in bigger periods of history, like Russia and Germany and China, you know, you go around the world, you just think about the amount of fear the human being has experienced in the world on a massive scale and what it must have been like. And then here we are living in a country where, for the most part, you're not attacked every single day, unless you live in some crime-ridden ghetto somewhere, but you're not attacked every day. You have walls up around you. You have buildings around you. You have electricity running around you. You have the internet. You're listening to this show, for crying out loud. I'm assuming you're not running from your life from a cheetah right now. And yet we suffer from more psychological fear today than, I'll bet you, I can't confirm this, but I'll bet you that people of the ancient past would have suffered. Because the type of fear we feel is a little bit different than that. See, that's legitimate fear. There's legitimate danger around you. For some reason, human psychology can deal better with that. It's traumatizing. It's horrible. It's horrible beyond words. And the average Western person who's not used to seeing things blow up around them and death around them and the most crazy things that you probably should fear or would fear in those moments, we're not used to seeing that. So our fears are, they're like completely internally generated, and they're not legitimate. They're not legitimate fears. They're these mental demons that we create that possess us, and they create an illusory effect of fear. We fear other people, we fear ourselves, we fear everything around us, and yet there's nothing to fear. You know what I'm saying? Not really. And yeah, things happen around you, but I'm just saying, in comparison, trying to give a comparison to try to give you some context as to how you can look at your fear and say, hey, is it really that bad? Like, compared to what other human beings have actually experienced on a regular basis, like what the entire lives of people in different periods of time under different living conditions must have been like what kind of fear they felt. But there's levels to fear, right? I'm trying to also illustrate the fact that there's levels to fear. There's fear that is there, it's necessary. Like, if a bear jumps out at you and starts running at you, ready to rip your face off, like, that's a legitimate moment of fear. That fear is going to save your life. That fear is going to incite the fight or flight response. And you're going to do either the right thing or the wrong thing in that moment. And hopefully, if you were trained even a little bit on what to do when that situation arises, you'll do the right thing, and the fear will drive you, and it's the ultimate motivator, isn't it? It motivates you to do the right thing. But then there's the illegitimate form of fear, where you're not even in a place where a bear could possibly run out and grab you like that, and you're afraid of bears. Or even if you are, and you're just around every bush, around every building, you know, you're just walking out of a superstore and you're looking around for bears everywhere, and you become obsessed with something that's just, the likelihood of that happening is so small. It'd be like being afraid of being struck by lightning. It's ridiculous to walk around living your life being afraid of being struck by lightning. Are there people that have been struck by lightning? Yep. Not many, though. Doesn't happen often enough for you to go, I should really be worried about this getting struck by lightning thing. You know what I'm saying? And even the things that are more statistically, like if you go to the insurance company and they're telling you, well, what kind of lifestyle do you live? Well, statistically, you could die like this. This could happen to you. So we don't want to insure you on that policy. You know, don't even think about, what about the things that could happen to you? Don't, you can't let that shit build up in your head every single day. And I really started to realize this when I read books like The Hakaguri and The Book of the Samurai and The Book of Five Rings and some of the letters that were written by Roman legionnaires on the battlefield, some of the writings that come from different people that have been in war situations. And what they would say is that the people that, the soldiers that were shaking in their boots and urinating themselves because they were just overcome with fear, they were the first to go on the battlefield. They were the first to die. And oftentimes the general would just be like, hey, just put this guy on the front line and let's get this over with, because he's not going to survive long here and he's actually hampering our movement. So front line for that guy, sorry, see ya. They just knew that, you know, those guys living in fear and obsessing about, oh my God, I could hit by an arrow. I could... Think about a battle in the Middle Ages, all right? You're fighting each other with giant steak knives and poles that on the other end of them are like even bigger steak knives, and you have little quills full of these sticks with feathers on one end and little pointy sharp objects dipped in poison and oil with flames on the end of them, and you're firing them at each other and you're back and forth and you're crashing and you're riding horses and you're running people down with horses and you're riding and swinging like a stick with a chain and a ball attached to the end of it, and you're swinging it and smashing someone's skull in. Like, how many different ways to die would there have been? And if you're on the battlefield about to defend your country, hopefully you weren't part of the invading force, but you were defending your country and you're like, I am so scared of every possible arrow and every possible blade and every possible axe that could be buried into my skull. If you're living in fear of that before going into the battlefield, it's a guarantee that you're not making out of there. You're not making it out of there. You're going to manifest that. You're going to be so focused on what the enemy can do to you that you're not going to be able to focus on what you can do to the enemy. I remember when I was competing, I used to obsess about this. I'd be obsessed about, oh my God, this guy, look, he's got a really good jump spin hook kick, or he's got a really good double leg takedown, or this guy is a crazy grappler. Like, last thing I want to do is go on the ground with this guy. And you start obsessing about every possible scenario. And then when you get out there, you're not focused on what you can do. You don't know that, wow, I've got a really good right cross. I got an excellent lead leg roundhouse kick. I got a really good foot sweep. I got really good clinch work. I, on the ground, when I get on top, man, you're not getting me off. Like, you forget what your game is. And then you actually, you've lost before you even went into that combat scenario. So what I'm trying to encourage you to do is face your fear like a warrior and say, I don't want to lose this battle against my fear before I even fight it. Like, give yourself a fighting chance against your fears. Give yourself a fighting chance. The thing about fear is it really makes you feel like you don't have any power, like I said before. So it's really good at lying to you and being, and especially these irrational fears, really good at talking to you in an irrational way. These little voices in the back of your head that just haunt you. And they haunt your dreams, man. What are they telling you? They're telling you a lot of information about you that's just not true because it hasn't happened. It's telling you a bunch of what ifs. What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? What if this person says this? What if you get on stage and you just nothing comes out of your mouth? You know, what if you're at that piano recital and you're just sitting there and your fingers are frozen and you can't do anything and you make too many mistakes and you're hitting three keys at once? What if, what if, what if? What if I walk out at my front door tomorrow and I get hit with a golf ball on the side of the head? I don't know. Like, whatever fear you could have. I'm commuting to work. Man, there's a lot of car accidents. Maybe I'll be the one this time. Like, if you live your life like that, you're setting yourself up for the end. You're setting yourself up for disaster. So focus your mind. If you understand the fact that you are co-creating your reality, do you understand that? Now, you by yourself are not the entire creator of the entire reality around you, because this reality and this life does involve other people and other living things as well. But you are a participant in the experiences that happen to you. I believe that. I believe that. And so when you think constantly and obsess about what you're afraid of, you bring it about. You bring it about in your life, and it magnifies to a point that's just unrealistic. And then it gets to a point, I've experienced this before, where you even consciously know that you're blowing it out of proportion. You ever had this happen to you? You know that you can sit there and you're like, yeah, Dave, I hear what you're saying. I know all this shit. You're not telling me anything new, man. But I still can't kick the fear. Why is that, do you think? Why is it that we have the ability to know consciously, like logically, like somebody wrote it down on a whiteboard or somebody's telling you in a podcast and they're saying, hey, your fear is a construct of your mind and you've got to change your mindset and then be free of your fear. It's just as easy as that. Just change your mindset. Go ahead. Try. And you're like, well, I can't just do that. It doesn't just switch like a light bulb like that. And that's why we go for the pills. That's why we go for drugs. Hey, give me some antidepressant medication. Give me some SSR reuptake inhibiting drugs. Give me some real shit, man. Give me some, like, get me on the coke and the heroin and all that stuff. Like, we want to, because we're so desperate for a fix. And we don't realize that to fix fear, to fight fear, it's a battle that lasts a couple rounds. Like, you've got to go through it. This is a fire you're going to have to go through. If you've allowed your mind to get into that point, what happens is that fear becomes part of your subconscious mind. It's subconscious, meaning it's below the surface. It started in the conscious mind, and then maybe it started at a young age, like my fear of spiders or whatever it is, and then it just, you never really dealt with it and faced it, so it got buried back somewhere in those filing folders in your subconscious mind. And then even when you consciously know, I just nothing to be afraid of with spiders. I shouldn't have to live my life worried about spiders all the time. You know, or insert whatever fear you want into that example. But yet you still are afraid of it. So what you have to do is you have to declare war against it in a way. You have to say, listen, I need to find out a good strategy for dealing with this fear. And the more I can face this fear, that's the best way to go. The more I can face it and just, when you get to a point where you can accept your fear. See, I've always had a problem in my mind. You know, I'm an Aries. I'm a fire sign. I'm a go-getter. I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little energetic. I'm a deep thinker, right? It's part of my makeup. And I do not accept being sick very well. I do not like it. I hate it. If I get a cold or a flu, I'm pretty much depressed right away. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to suck. I'm going to have to feel like shit. I'm not going to get all the things done I wanted to get done. I can't go and do the things I want to do, right? So when I start feeling blue or I feel stressed or I have a fear of something, it's not even the thing. It's not even that thing itself. I'm actually afraid of the fear or afraid of the feeling of being down or the afraid of being sick. That's one of the fears I have, is I don't like being held back and restrained in any way. I love being at my best. But I've had to learn, and martial arts taught me this, that you can't be an ace every day. You can't be at your best every day. It's impossible. Talk to the best athletes, champions in the world, the most successful people in the world. Nobody's on their A game every single day. Everybody has to take some time off once in a while to recuperate. If you're go, go, go all the time, you're almost rushing to your grave. You're not even living life. You're rushing so fast and stressing out so much. It's no wonder you're picking all these weird phobias and fears and angsts and all this stuff along the way. It's because you don't even have time to deal with shit anymore. You notice that? We don't even have time to deal with the problems that we have. How many people come up to and tell me, they go, yeah, man, I got this bad cold and if only I could just take a day's rest, but I really just can't take that time off work. Think about it. Like, we've put ourselves up against the wall where we're rushing ourselves so much that we're so hyper-stressed all the time that we're not even operating at our full power. Our battery is constantly drained. Like, how many times you got to plug your cell phone in a week because it keeps dying batteries every time you use it? What do you think your body and your mind is going through? And yet we're simultaneously using the battery as we plugged it in, and now we're not even getting enough charge from the plug anymore because we're simultaneously running all those systems and the mind is worrying so much all the time that we don't even have the energy and the lifeblood left to fight the things that we normally could fight and deal with. So if you're dealing with a very specific fear that has been haunting you, or a very specific obstacle in your mind that has been haunting you for a while, you need to find a way to take time to deal with it, and you need to dedicate time to it. I know that sounds weird because we all want to run away from these things, but I'm telling you to run through it, run for it. That's the warrior way. Oh, there's a challenge? Where is it? I'm there. You'll find me there. I want that challenge because I know that if I can overcome that challenge, I am now a stronger warrior. But if I keep running from it, I'm going to slowly turn myself into a coward. And that's no way to live life. You can't live worrying about dying. You can't win worrying about losing. You can't succeed worrying about failure. You must take steps to change your thinking habits. Thinking can become habitual. We can become acclimatized to thinking in a fear-based frequency. We can be used to the feeling of feeling anxious. And then we can get used to that momentary feeling of relief when we take a drug, or we take a quick way out, or we do something that isn't in a long-term best interest but is probably going to exacerbate the problem because we're not facing the problem. The more we choose to not face the problems, the more they grow. You know? So to conquer your fear, you have to conquer yourself. This is why I've always appreciated what athletes have to go through. High-level athletes. Ever notice? These people are so finely tuned. They know their body so well. They can go in the gym and they can go, yep, I'm not performing. I can feel my body. I'm not performing as well because maybe it was that taco or something, you know, like, or that night out the other night. Man, I'm really feeling it now in the gym. And they know every little subtle change in the settings of the body because they're in there all the time, and they know what it feels like when they're at their optimum, when they're eating right, when they're sleeping right, when they did the right kind of warming up and the right kind of movement training and the right kind of drilling. They know where they're at, and that's a beautiful science because it's teaching you about your body. But at the same time, you're also training your mind, and you can train your mind in a very similar way. You can actually train your mind through training the body and vice versa, but you have to be conscious of it while you're doing it, okay? There's also a lot of meatheads out there that train a lot, but they have zero intelligence. They haven't connected that dot yet. And then there's a lot of people that are very physically not fit and unhealthy that are brilliant thinkers. It's weird, eh? Like, your goal is to be both. But you can become as finely tuned and connected to your mental frequencies as an Olympic athlete can be tuned to their physical frequency. And I suggest you work on that. And think of it like a process. Go, okay, here I am today. I'm living with this fear, or I'm living with this self-doubt, or I'm living with this, you know, this skeleton in my closet from the past, or this experience I had in the past, this trauma that I've experienced. I'm living with it. Here I am right now. I need to accept that. I need to accept that that is the problem. That is the monkey on my back. And I can't get it off right now. And it's going to take some time. And it's going to take some work. But I'm committed. And I'm going to put a plan together for myself. I'm going to make a health plan. Number one. Numero uno. Make a health plan. Start changing the way you eat. Start changing the way you treat your body. That's the first place to begin. I don't care what problem you're dealing with psychologically or emotionally. Treat yourself better. Treat your body with respect. Treat your body the way you would treat a child, your child's body. That same level of concern that we have for our kids. Oh, what if they eat that? What if they eat that? What if they eat that? Try to show that to yourself. See what happens. You know? And then from there, admit to yourself that you have this problem and that you have that fear and that you're going to have to find a way to deal with it. I can't give you the exact steps. I mean, it's always a person-by-person basis. I'm not a professional psychoanalyst, but I can definitely recommend some fantastic people and fantastic work for you to look into. There's been great minds that have come well before and have established this, and there's some great programs out there. There's some great online counseling if you need that. There's There's professional services, but there's also great books and great audio series and courses and things you can do, personal development. You got to start becoming more optimistic in your view. You got to view things a little more optimistically and say, I'm not there yet, but I'm going to get there because I'm on the way. And if you do a little bit every day towards conquering your fear, you're gonna get there. You can only go up from here. You can only go up from here. The only way you're going to go backwards is if you stop the process. Like if you came and signed up in my martial art class and you've never done martial arts before, and I said, okay, you're going to come on these nights, you're going to stay consistent, I'm going to work with you, just do what I tell you to do. Just work on it and keep coming. You're not going to be very good in the beginning. You're going to make a lot of mistakes and errors. Probably going to look a little funny in the beginning. That's just normal. We all did. But if you keep coming, you can only go up from here. You can only get better from here. You accept where you're at. Don't try to be something you're not. Be honest with yourself and say, I don't know this thing. This is new for me. Or if you're dealing with some kind of fear, I'm dealing with this fear right now and that's where I am. I admit it to myself and I'm maybe going to need some help. So I'm going to go seek some help and I'm going to be honest with the help that I'm seeking. And I'm going to take a step every day and I'm not going to stop. Just don't quit. That's all you have to do in order to beat fear. Because fear is waiting for you to quit. Your adversaries are waiting for you to quit. They're looking for opportunities for you to quit. So they can move in, like any pathogen, right? Looking for weak spots. So don't give them any weak spots. Don't give that fear any weak spots. You got to realize, okay, this is embedded itself like a hypnotic suggestion, like inception in my deepest parts of my brain somewhere. And even though I'm consciously aware of it, and I wish I could just say, hey, I don't need to be afraid of that anymore. I'm still feeling afraid. So I need to take active steps towards mastering and conquering that fear. And if you do that every day, and I'll bet you even know exactly what you need to do. You don't need me to break it all down for you. You know what your fear is, and you know you're an intelligent person. Come on. You know what to do. You don't have to go seek all this help. You can get help, but you know what to do. Deep down, you know what to do. You're far more intelligent than you give yourself credit for. You're far smarter than that. Okay? Fear makes you dumb because it suffocates your mind. So just remember that. Whatever you're doing right now, you're only operating a fraction of your mental potential right now. Because you're thinking from a basis of fear. So you're not even, you don't even know how strong you are yet. Think of that. Get up in the morning and think of that. Just be like, hey, that guy Dave on that podcast, he told me I was strong and I don't really believe him yet. I think he's just talking out of his ass. But, you know, he did say it and maybe he's onto something. What if I tried believing that? What if I just tried believing that? Like, fuck it. Why? What do I got to lose? I'm already here. I got this thing holding me back. Why don't I just trust this and try it and see what happens? And maybe if I start telling myself every day, it can only get better from here. I'm taking action steps every day. I'm developing a health plan. I'm developing a fitness routine. I'm going to get out in nature as much as I possibly can. And even if I can only do 15 minutes of each one of those things each day, that's only like 45 minutes. Like, can you devote an hour a day out of the 24 hours that exist in a day? Okay, well, you need some time for sleep. So fine, 12 hours that exist in the day. Can you cut out 1 hour that is only yours? It's not your Instagram accounts. It's not your families. It's not your friends. It's not your boss. It's not those annoying people in your life that you always feel like you have to answer to and show off for all the time. It's not anybody else's. Like, you're not even going to talk to the mailman. You're not even going to talk to that clerk at the grocery store. You're going to go isolate yourself for an hour a day. And you are going to do the things that you know you need to do in order to master this thing that is holding you back. And you're going to formulate an action plan on your own. I did it. I didn't know all the things I know now. I learned them through doing it, through conquering fears and limiting belief systems and my inhibitions. I learned what they were and I knew deep down there was a solution to them. And do things, you know, if you really need some direction, do things that support the building of your self-esteem. you have to start here. And even if you're a person that has a lot of self-esteem, you could there's never too much self-esteem. There might be someone that's going too much into narcissism and you're thinking too highly in an illusory state of yourself, but you can never have too much self-esteem, which is talking about the health of your mind. You can never have too much of that. You can never have too much self-love. You can have too much self-infatuation, self-lust, I don't know what you want to call it, right? But you can't have too much self-love, like love in the truest sense. That's a force that's limitless. It's all-encompassing. It accepts the good and the bad. It's an understanding, compassionate energy. It's a very powerful energy. And we all know we need it, like we need sunlight, which is why we crave love from other people. But what if you could find some time to cordon off and quarantine yourself and say, hey, no, this is my time because I've got some things I need to work on because I'm not destined to live this life like this forever. I'm not destined to be a victim for the rest of my life. I'm not destined to be living a life that I'm not really happy with for the rest of my life. I'm not destined to be living in fear for the rest of my life. I'm making that decision. I don't have all the answers to how I'm going to get out of this mess, but I know that much. You know that much. Come on. I knew that much, and that's how I got to where I am now. Where I embrace fear. I know what fear is. Fear and me are friends now. We get along. We used to have problems in the past. Things weren't going too well, but we've worked on our relationship over the years. I'm now pretty good. I'm on good terms with fear because we understand each other now. When I see fear cropping up, that to me is now a communication system. It's like a GPS that's like recalibrating. Turn right. No, don't turn. Like it's a system of communication for me. It's not, oh my God, I'm afraid. It's a communication system. That's how I look at it. Like, oh, a part of my consciousness is trying to communicate something to me right now. I missed something. Thank you. All right. Doesn't feel good. Slightly tormenting, but I understand what you're here for. You're a messenger. See, fear can be a friend. Fear can keep you warm like that fire. Fear is like a fire. If I put you in the ring, okay, a fighting, you're about to fight somebody, okay, like in Fight Club, how much can you possibly know about yourself if you haven't been in a fight before? So what was the homework he gave all the guys in that movie Fight Club? Go out and start a fight and lose. Now don't do this for real. This is metaphoric, okay? But start a fight with fear and lose and make mistakes and go, oh man, still got this fear. And then get better at it. Practice. You're a white belt, remember? But you're going to be a black belt if you just keep going. And then you're going to get on a good term relationship with your fear. And you're going to be the one calling the shots. And you're going to use fear when you need it. Like if a car is coming down the road real quick, that fear is going to kick on. You're going to get out of the way. And then Zen master, back to your balanced equilibrium. Someone gets up in your face and starts calling you on and gets, you know, yelling at you and screaming at you. Okay, the fear comes in a little bit. It motivates you. It's a motivator. And then deal with the situation and then calm down and Zen master and focus and equilibrium again. Inner peace. Right? See, you're not letting it control you, but you're listening to it. That's why the people that are ignoring fear and running from it and masking it with drugs and alcohol and all that other shit, they'll never be victorious. They will always lose. It's a guarantee. Can guarantee that. And another force I want to talk about is the societal influence on you. Okay? Like Krishnamurti said, it is no measure of health to be profoundly well adjusted. No, to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. We have a sick society. It needs help. We all know that. We're working on it, okay? But have you ever noticed that the media is in business to sell fear? Because they know, either consciously or subconsciously, that fear is a motivator. So fear can be a very powerful sales tactic. Why do you think politicians use it? Why do you think many the news media uses it. Fear, fear, fear. There's this shooting. There's this killing. There's this bombing. There's this war. There's this financial collapse coming. There's this... the whole world is going to erupt in an earthquake and it's going to turn... You know, like, always fear, fear, fear. Uncertainty, unrest, angst. Constantly. In the back of your mind, always. Even if you're trying to avoid that, you catch the headline as you're on the bus and you just, you know, you see somebody reading a paper, or you're at a cafe and you overhear a conversation about what happened in the current events, or you flicked on a YouTube channel and you've got someone yelling and screaming about something. And in the back of your mind, there's a subconscious pull, and it's because naturally as humans, when we see fear, we want to respond to it and we want to deal with it. So we're very curious about fear. Like, what? Oh, shit, something bad's happening? Oh my God, I better know about this. Then I got to know about it so I can get away from it. And if you're always in that fight or flight, spastic, tense state all the time, what do you think that does to you over time? It starts to rule you. And then you start to become that because you're becoming saturated in it. We're marinating in fear right now. Can't you feel it? Can't you see it? And so some of the fear that you're experiencing isn't even yours. We're so electromagnetically connected. I do believe in energy fields and auras and all that stuff. And I think that there's, you know, people's be like, I got a bad vibe from that person. Or I get a really good vibe from that thing. I love that. I love the vibe of this. Because there's vibrations, right? And if the vibration around you is predominantly fear... And even when you're trying to avoid it, I mean, you can't all the time. You can't all the time. It's impossible. But what you can do is you can mitigate it by becoming educated about it. And most fear is rooted in a feeling of powerlessness. And a feeling of powerlessness can only come about because of a state of ignorance. So that's why knowledge is power. So work on your knowledge. Work on your skill set. So as you're working on your skill set of defeating whatever monkey you have on your back, work on other skill sets as well. Become proficient. Become productive. Become more competent at things. If you love something and you've always had an interest in something, go and pursue that thing and start getting good at it. That's going to boost your self-esteem. It's going to keep you busy. It's going to help keep your mind off of these things that are torturing you. And it's going to help strengthen those little muscles in your consciousness that are going to help you deal with that big adversary that you're carrying around with you, that you need to defeat. So there's more specific advice that could be given. Like I said, if you do need professional help, by all means, there are some excellent counselors, I'm sure, that are available to you. If you don't know where to find one, I've recommended before, there's some excellent online counseling services with some trained professionals. There are some really good websites out there. I'll put a link in the description for you. If you want some materials, specific books, you know, I'm always recommending stuff on this show. I'll be writing more articles on my website. I'm still building it a little bit, but I'm going to be, that's what I want to do. I just want to be putting out information and creating good content that's going to help with these things. But I hope in this podcast I've at least given a framework of the mindset of how to deal with fear. And I feel like nobody's done it better than the martial artists. Nobody's done it better than the warriors. I mean, come on, they're the ones on the front line of the most horrific stuff all the time. You should listen to these people. Go sign up at a martial arts studio. Go take a Tai Chi course. Do something related to that, because the idea of combat, the idea of fighting is about fighting your inner demons and fighting your inhibitions and fighting your fears and your self-doubts. Fighting that part of yourself that you're afraid of. That's what the martial arts are for. That's why I'm such a big advocate for that. I don't care how old you are. I had a question the other day. Is there an age that's too old to start martial arts? I don't know how old this person was. I don't think they were 90. Their profile picture looked kind of like they were in their 30s. And I said, it is never too late. I had an amazing student of mine. I miss him dearly. Just because I moved away from where I was teaching. But when he came in, he was in his late 50s, early 60s. He started with me. Great man. And he came, and I remember when he couldn't even finish the warm-up. He'd have to sit on the side, breathing heavily. And then eventually he worked his way up to being able to complete the warm-up, and he was so proud, and I was so happy for him. I was like, man, you finished the whole warm-up, man, and you killed it. You did awesome. And then he was able to start doing a bit of the class and wasn't taking as much breaks. And then 5 years later, I tested him for his black belt in Japanese jiu-jitsu, and he passed with flying colors, and he even performed in a big-time demonstration that I hooked up for my team to perform in. So we practiced. He was part of the team. He looked fantastic. This is a guy that came in, and every indication and every person around him would have said, no, you're too old to start martial arts. And yet he went in and actually became a black belt. And yeah, he had some bad knees and some bad backs and all these kind of things, but he never quit. And we always found a way to work around it. And it was his positive energy that got him to that level. And I will never forget him. And I love seeing those kinds of things happen. So no, you don't have to start doing it when you're 2 years old only. Okay? It helps when you have an upbringing in it, but it's never too late. And it's not, what are you going to do? You're going to go, you know, if you're at a certain age, you're not in it to go fight in tournaments and go get into bar fights and go, you know, put on a superhero costume and go fight crime. You're not doing it for that. You're doing it for personal development. You're doing it for, because yoga doesn't appeal to you, or Aquafit doesn't appeal to you, or just jogging or riding a bike isn't enough, you know? Like, you want to do something that's connecting more to your inner warrior, you know? Like, that's what it should be about. So to the martial arts instructors out there, make space for everybody. Make space for people that need help, not just these people that you hope you can turn into some world champion or some super black belt that'll represent you well. It's not just about those people. Martial arts is for the downtrodden, for the weak, for the people that need it. For the feeble, for the old, for the disabled, for young people and people of all backgrounds to come together and empower each other. It's supposed to be a force in the community that helps the entire community come out of living in fear. Fear of criminals and breaking and enters and all the stupid stuff that goes into drug gangs. And you shouldn't be afraid of that. They should be afraid to be in your neck of the woods. They should be afraid of you. Your fear should be afraid of you. How about that? How about that? How about you become the storm? Like that old warrior maxim that's like, the warrior was afraid of the storm until he turned to the storm and said, no, 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 I'm the storm. I'm the motherfucking storm. You get out of my way for a change, okay? Live your life like that. Charge up, warrior up, become empowered. Live like that and listen to people that are going to tell you that and talk to you like that and treat you like that and educate you on those things and that mindset. Develop the ability to overcome, the overcome mentality, the strength and the mental strength of a warrior. Develop that. I've had guests on that have entire courses online where you can learn these things. Okay, I'm teaching you a course with this show and through the work that I'm doing, because I see this as a need. There's a big need in our society today, because we have a lot of people that are living in fear, and it's not rational fear. Like I was saying earlier, it's not, we don't have tons of legitimate fears like we maybe used to experience anymore. We're creating fears now, because I think maybe we think, I don't know, we have to be living in fear or something. Like, no, no, no. If we're going to evolve, we need to be able to deal with this. And the final point I'm going to say is that you're never going to be able to completely eradicate fear. You have to, like, it's a force in the human experience. But you can form a different relationship with it. And you can recognize that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the acceptance of fear. I know I'm going to be afraid, but I'm still going. I know it's going to be hard, but I'm still doing it. That's courage. That's courage. So I hope that empowers you. I hope that leaves you with some encouragement. That's my goal with this show. And I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening. I am now on Podbean, YouTube, iTunes, and also Stitcher. I'm now on Stitcher. They approved me. I'm very excited about it. So please leave your comments. Please share like and do all that fun stuff. Subscribe so you can get, put the little bell on or something so you can get a notification for every new episode. I have a few episodes each week. I'll have a lot more exciting content coming your way. I've got some really cool guests lined up coming up soon. And so lots of good things to look forward to. So stick with me here. I'm going to stick with you and let's do this again sometime. All right, guys, have a good one. Enjoy your evening or your morning or whatever. And we'll talk to you next time on The Way, The Truth, Warrior. Cheers.